Time for Dean Richards Entertainment Report, sponsored by Walter A. Smith Furniture and Design. Morning, Dean. Have a good holiday.
It was a very, very nice holiday, and got to see some plays, and got to see some more movies. So, it's
nice.
Yeah, it was nice and relaxing. And I've got big Taylor Swift news that just came over literally 1 minute ago.
All right, lay it on us.
You know, the Taylor Swift movie that everyone's been talking about, the Eras Tour movie that's still in theaters, they just announced a few minutes ago when it will be coming to streaming, that you'll be able to watch it at home with additional footage added on, because the three-hour length apparently was not long enough for fans. But the movie is going to begin streaming on her birthday. Like, I need to tell you, Bob, that's December 13th. And some of the new extended version of this film will include the songs Wildest Dreams, The Archer, and Long Live. So that'll be available to rent and on demand. December 13th.
Mm-hmm. It'll be a merry swiftness for all.
Get to your Blockbuster store and get your VHS copy right now.
However, no Barbie sequel. Is that the word?
No, I'm really surprised about this. But Margot Robbie, who not only played Barbie in the movie, but she was one of the producers of this film, which is, by the way, the number one movie of the year so far. It's very unlikely that anything is going to surpass it. She was interviewed over the weekend and said that the movie was meant to stand alone and it was not meant to be part of a trilogy or anything like that. So she's basically saying, hi, Barbie, that was it. The movie so far has earned $1.4 billion, and she says she hopes that the movie's success will pave the way for more projects that are led by women.
You mentioned you hit some theater over the weekend, and you went out to Aurora, right?
Yeah. I was out at the good old Paramount Theater in Aurora. They've become so famous out there for the shows that they put on during the holiday season, you know, shows that are perfect for the whole family. And this latest show that they've just opened up is no exception. Here's a little song that you might remember from it.
Who can take tomorrow?
Who can take tomorrow?
Dip it in a dream.
Dip it in a dream. Separate the sorrow and collect up all the cream.
The Candyman.
Yeah, there you go. How many times did you play the Sammy Davis version of that
song? A few.
Yeah. Which I love. I love the Sammy Davis Jr. version.
The first 130 times, it wasn't bad.
Yeah, right. Right. It's the repetition that that's what kills you. But the Candyman, the song, comes from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. It's the original source material, which is just open now at the Paramount Theater. And this is just such a perfect show to take the whole family. I actually met some people in the lobby. There were like 20 family members that they all brought to the theater to come and see this show as part of the Thanksgiving holiday weekend. And it's the perfect show. And it's, you know, people have been wondering, is this going to be based on the Gene Wilder version, on the Johnny Depp version? Well, you know, how is this going to be coming off? It's basically the Gene Wilder version. But they did update it a little bit now. You know, all the smart aleck kids that are in this movie, they get their golden ticket and they get to go inside the chocolate factory. Now these kids are influencers and reality show wannabes and social media, you know, people. Mm-hmm. So they've updated it that way so to make them a lot more relatable to the kids. But the characters are all the same. Stephen Shellhart is the actor who plays Willy Wonka, and he's very, very Gene Wilder-like. There are two performers, Charlie Long and Mina Sood, a boy and a girl, who alternate the role of Charlie Bucket in this. And I kind of like that there is a girl that's also playing that role. Longtime Chicago favorite, my old pal Gene Wyngant, is in this show as Grandpa Joe. But Augusta Goop is there, and Veruca Salk, and Mike Teevee, and Violet Beauregard. Just really great performances. Big, beautiful, clever, colorful show that takes you inside the chocolate factory. It's just, it truly is a world of pure imagination, to quote the famous song from the show. So it's going to be out at the Paramount until January 14th. And, yeah, I am recommending that you go out and take a bite.
All right. Sounds good. Dean, there's some sad news this morning about the creator of a string of popular television shows.
Sid and Marty Krofft were known as the kings of Saturday morning TV because they created so many popular shows. They're brothers. Now Marty Krofft has just passed away, but what a legacy he leaves, including this.
HR Puff and Step, who's your friend when things get rough? HR Puff and Step, can't do a little because you can't do enough.
How about that? Yep. Bring back a million memories from the 70s and 80s HR Puff and Stuff. Also shows like Land of the Lost and Sigmund and the Sea Monsters. Lidsville, the list goes on and on of all of these live-action shows that they produced. The Krofft brothers also gave us, they were the creators of the Donnie and Marie variety show. A bunch of different variety shows from back in the day. He was 86 years old.
And also one of the great one-hit wonder artists has passed away.
Yeah, that's very true. Take a listen to the one and only hit for the great Jeannie Knight.
Who do you think you are? Mr. Big Star. You're never gonna get my love.
Yeah, that held up pretty well.
That is such a good song. I mean, I don't know if it's quite as good as Candyman by Sammy Davis Jr. No, that is Mr. Big Stuff is a fantastic song. And Jeannie Knight, native of New Orleans, it was just announced over the weekend that she passed away last Wednesday of natural causes at her home in New Orleans. But that song got up to the number two spot on the Billboard Hot 100. It was number one on the Billboard R&B charts for 5 weeks. And it was the biggest hit of Jeannie Knight's career, although she's had quite a few big hit songs. Carry On and You Think You're Hot Stuff and many, many more. That song was used, Mr. Big Stuff, in lots of TV shows and movies, and still holds up today. She was 80 years old.
That was the one everybody remembered, the one that got all the radio airplay. Well, we know more now about the Hall & Oates fight. Fill us in on the gory details.
Yeah, this is, you know, I can't go for that. No Can Do has taken on a whole new meaning here. Hall is suing Oates. Daryl Hall suing his longtime music partner, John Oates, claiming that Oates's plan to sell his share of a joint venture, would violate their business agreement. A judge in Nashville has blocked the sale, and the scheduled hearing will be this coming Thursday. But what this is going to come down to, really, are the ground rules of who can sing what song as a solo artist. In other words, if John Oates goes out as a solo artist.
And he is.
And he is. And Daryl Hall owns rights to the songs, to Hall & Oates songs, but Daryl Hall wrote them. Can John Oates perform them without, you know, paying a royalty or being sued for using the songs without any permission? So it's going to be very interesting.
Yeah,
these guys have been making music together since the 1970s. So
much for the reunion concert.
Yeah, so much. You know, they were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but you know, business is business, I guess. Money is money.
Rob Reiner is one of my favorite people. You got to talk to him, and he's been out promoting his Albert Brooks documentary, but he's also doing something else pretty interesting, isn't he?
Yeah, he's hosting and creating a six-part podcast called Who Shot JFK? He has done all kinds of investigating, all kinds of digging into places that have never been dug before, trying to get some information. And he's come up with conclusions like It very definitely, Lee Harvey Oswald was not the lone gunman in the assassination of John F. Kennedy. He points fingers at Cuba. He points fingers at the Chicago Mafia. You know, I love getting, you know, Chicago-related items on any story that I do, but I'm not sure I'm so crazy about this one. But the Giancana crime family may have been implicated in this. The FBI and the CIA may have been implicated in this. Rob Reiner presents facts. He's not pointing fingers at anybody exactly, but he presents all these facts and says he wants you to make up your own mind in what he calls the world's greatest murder mystery, which I think is a very interesting way to put this, because now 60 years later, and it's still very unclear who assassinated the president of the United States back in 1963. And he says, you know, the Warren Commission, the official work that was done on this was very flawed. Still to this day, a lot of the documents are classified, and nobody can see what those are. So it's worth checking out wherever you listen to podcasts. Look for Who Shot JFK. But I also am a huge fan of Rob Reiner. I told him that I still watch all the family all the time. And he, you know, he acknowledges how the issues that they dealt with on that show are maybe even more relevant today than they were back in the day when he created, you know, the meathead character with Archie and Edith and Gloria and all the characters on that show. But what he's also talking about is a new documentary that he's got out that he did about his childhood friend, Albert Brooks, the great Albert Brooks, who I also love, a new documentary that's called Defending My Life, and he talked to me a little about that.
Albert's a dear, dear friend of mine. We met in high school. We've been friends, close friends ever since. We shared a house together at one point. So I love doing it. And the man is a genius. He's one of the, he's, to me, the funniest man I've ever met. And it was a pleasure to be able to make a documentary about him and introduce him to people who didn't know a lot about what Albert's done over the years. So if you want a big laugh, a good laugh, there's lots of good laughs in it, and revelations about Albert's personal life, you know, tune in. It's on Max, and, you know, you can check it out.
Yeah. Was it obvious to you when you were high school buddies that he was a comedic genius back then?
Yes, he was. He and even at age 16, he was like a prodigy. He was the only he made my dad laugh hysterically. One time he did a routine in the house, and he at age 16 could make professional comedians, people who were, you know, regarded, highly regarded in the industry. He could make them laugh at age 16. And my father once said he was the funniest guy he ever, and he and Mel Brooks, to my dad, were the two funniest people he ever knew.
Yeah, his dad, of course, the great Carl Reiner, the legendary Carl Reiner. We've got that whole interview posted. We ran it on my radio show yesterday's on Sunday. So if you want to hear the whole Rob Reiner interview, WGNradio.com.
I watched it, and as soon as it was over, I wanted to watch it again. And, and I wanted to see every Albert Brooks movie again.
Cannot get enough of Albert Brooks.
Don't say nest egg, please. Thank you.